given us knowledge through Allah, and this makes us feel very high about it, the wisdom of W.D. Muhammad.
Looks like it's working. Let me move to the back. I'm going to ask all you gentlemen to just, if you don't mind, have a seat on three. One, two, three. And that leaves me with some beautiful women. Hi, what's your name?
My name is Tawhida Shahid.
And what does that name mean?
Well, Tawhida means believer in one God, Allah. And Shahid means bearing witness that there is no God but Allah.
And how long have you been a Muslim?
A year and a half.
A year and a half? How has your life changed? Obviously, you dress in a certain way. Can you tell us why you dress in this way?
Well, in Islam, the women are taught to cover as much of their physical body as possible so that they will not attract the opposite sex physically. We are taught that men...
So let's stop on that one point. And I don't mean to make light of it, but I think most of our society, a lot of men grow up wanting to attract women. Women grow up wanting to attract men. We are bombarded with commercials that show beauty and things like that. Was the transition difficult for you to accept that in the faith?
No, it wasn't, because we tend to mislead ourselves and confuse attraction with lust. You see, two sexes are attracted to one another naturally anyway. If I come out in a gunny sack, I'm going to attract a man one way or another. But when you put on false makeup and show half your body, that is not attraction anymore. That's just lust.
But what I wonder, and I wonder this from all of you, was it not difficult in order to change your habits and to change your pattern of behavior, probably growing up looking at making yourself with cosmetics beautiful on one level? Was it difficult for any of you?
No.
Well, you have to explain why. I mean, people are watching right now who can't imagine giving up their makeup or giving up a certain kind of look for religion. Why did you do it?
Well, it was a rare quality in me. I never used makeup.
So you never use it anyway?
No, sir. However, I was searching for something different. And when you're searching for reality and truth, then it's very easy for you to give up falsehood.
What do you think may be the one large public misconception about your faith?
One
public misconception, if there is any. What the fact that the public may see it one way, but you as a practicing member see and know it as another.
Well, as the sister said, it's very easy to come from these unnatural way of living into the real way of living. It's really easy for anyone that sees and understands what the Nation of Islam is teaching.
Most interesting. I'm learning a lot today. We'll take a break and we'll continue with our guests right after this. And I thank you very much.
Thank you.
Afternoon, I start to get very hungry. I could start chewing on the cables here in the studio, but fortunately, I don't have to worry about that because we have some just beautiful food that is a very special food for followers of the Islamic faith. And I'd like Ali Rashid, who is a minister of the New York Mosque, first to introduce this man who prepared all the food.
So this is our fellow, Brother Ali X. He is a master chef, and just to give you an idea of how good he is. While we were assembling here this afternoon, he put most of this decoration together, and he put all this wonderful food together. He is a master chef.
It's good to have you with us. What is the significance of the food and the diet in this space?
Well, we try to eat mostly fresh food, not too much canned food or frozen. Sometimes we do.
What are the things you avoid? You do not eat the following things, period. What are they?
Pork.
No pork. The very mention of pork gets a laugh here today. Hey, pork! What else?
Now, well, we try to stay away from synthetic foods. We try to stay away from frozen food. We try to stay away from those things that have a lot of processed material.
Preservatives.
And yes, we stay with natural foods. And so we really, really enjoy our eating, you know. And this is why we use basically the most health-friendly products that come from natural.
Take a look at some of it. Now begin over here, Early, and tell us what you've assembled. That's just magnificent.
Just like all the birds of paradise, which is half a pineapple, chicken shell bird, and this is a honeydew filled with fruits.
Mm-hmm.
And what's this? That's beef sausages and peppers.
Beef
sausages.
Beef sausages. Now, what's a sausage is something I think that most people think has a lot of not particularly good things in it. What's in this sausage that makes it natural and healthy?
It's the same as the pork sausages, only don't have the pork.
Otherwise, this would be about an inch and a half longer if it had the pork in there. But at that length, it doesn't have the pork. What are these here?
Those are the fish meatballs.
Fish meatballs?
Yes.
You mean fish balls?
Fish balls, I'm sorry.
Fish balls.
What name is the whitey? Salam whitey. Imported by the Nation of Islam. And it's several rice with a red sauce.
I want to know what makes your sardines so special. I'm not in the business of doing a sardine commercial, but ever since we had the guy for no aging diet, we've all been eating a lot of sardines. And I eat the Nation of Islam sardines. Tell us about them.
All right. This sardine here is, as you see, is from Morocco. Morocco is the sardine capital of the world. And this
people may not know that.
Okay. Now, but this sardine has been tested by the federal government to be completely mercury-free. So when you look at the content of the sardine, the particular sardine that Salam imports is that we're selling, gives you the highest quality in diet food, gives you the highest quality in health food. Because as you know, fish tends to stabilize your weight and adds, they say, senses to your mind.
I know, I eat as many fish as I possibly can, constantly consuming fish. What do we have here? This is a staple, right?
That's
one of the main things.
Rice pilaf. That would nice with the curry chicken, which in front of that.
Yeah, it sure would. And how about the chicken? Where do you buy the chicken? Because I worry about chicken and preservatives and chemicals too. Is this just regular chicken you buy in the store?
We buy it from the kosher live market.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we don't. Sometimes they're not available. But this time we got it from that.
And it sure looks mighty good. Any special significance to the rolls other than the fact that
I'd like to eat a few? Or it's whole wheat.
Whole wheat roll.
Yeah.
This looks very appealing. This will be the first thing that I'm going to sample.
Yeah.
I'll bite it and you tell me what it is.
It's not carrot cake.
Mm-hmm.
It's made of carrots, brown sugar.
Brown sugar.
Honey.
Honey.
That's why it's
the sweet. That's why the first thing I went for, right? What about some of these things over on the end, Charlie?
That is our sardine mousse. That's
You've
made,
got to be kidding me.
Really?
That's made with imported sardine also.
Sardine mousse?
Yeah.
They don't even have that at the Four Seasons. Try to get a sardine mousse at any restaurant in New York.
Early in the day.
Why are they always such a close-up when you take a bite of food? Nobody wants to see me eating a sardine mousse. Thanks. Anything else to comment, Steve, on the end?
That is,
this is a very strange-looking device that you put together here.
That is bread. Plain white bread rolled out, made into a rolls.
How does it get yellow like that? Is it
and
soaked in base? What is it?
I dip it in food coloring for a demonstration.
For demonstration?
Yeah.
But normally you wouldn't dip it in food coloring,
no,
right?
No. And it's stuffed with sardines.
The sardines
are made into rolls.
It's delicious. It's an excellent array of healthy food and just another aspect of the faith we're talking about today. We're going to come back and meet a white, an Oriental, and a Latin who were members right after this. Thank you.
Thank you.
This year it became possible for people of other races to join the Nation of Islam. So after the stern principles of the old order, what kind of experience is now involved in becoming a member of the Nation of Islam? We want to talk to Brother Saifir Omar Khalid, who joined the Asbury Park, New Jersey Mosque in February of this year. With him is his wife, Doris. Also with us is Brother Daniel X. Davis, who joined the Connecticut Mosque this year, and also Brother Nobu Barnes, who has been a member for only 3 weeks. And Brother Barnes, perhaps we could start with you. How did you first become exposed to the Nation of Islam, and why did you decide to join?
Well, I was exposed to a friend of mine at work, and he talked about the religion, and I was interested, so he invited me to a temple in New London, and after a year, I joined.
And how about your experience, brother? You're from Connecticut.
I'm actually from Michigan, but...
Tell us a little bit about how you got involved.
Actually, I was working down on a submarine, you know. Listening to his brother talking to another brother. He's talking some heavy knowledge, you know. So I kept listening and asking questions, you know. We come up with all the answers. So I had to check it out, so to speak. So I went up to the Harper Miles, number 14, and I've been coming ever since.
How do you feel about the simple, literal fact of the surface minority, the fact that you're a white person in a religion that essentially is not one that has that many white people in it?
Well, it don't bother me because, see, like, we only deal with the mind, and the mind has no color, you see. And that's, the mind is, God is nothing but a body of knowledge. And that's all we're dealing with is truth. So, I feel good.
Very natural. You look good. Absolutely. I think that's one of the key points that come out on today's show. And how about you two as a couple? Were you married in a mosque?
No, sir. We've been married for 9 years now. We were married in Belize, which is where we originated from.
When is that?
Belize, formerly British Honduras on the Central American mainland.
Uh-huh.
Yes, sir. We are bordered on the north by Mexico, on the west and the south by Guatemala, and on the east by the Caribbean Sea. Our population is over 150,000 people, and it is primarily black and Hispanic, but our cross-section, we go from the lightest to the darkest,
mm-hmm.
but we have no affinity towards the color barriers that are so prevalent in this country.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think they are so prevalent in this country and in many, many other countries around the world, that people are so conscious of color? Why is that, do you think?
You see, it is because the European has stressed this mentality to the world that they, being the lighter race or the fairer race, are so superior to everyone else, you see. And like they go into all the other countries, all the oppressed countries of the world, and they instill this mentality in our people. And as a result of that, we see that we start looking at each other kind of funny, so to speak. We look at each other and we start noticing our differences, our physical differences.
We only see the surface, like exactly. The bag that everything is wrapped in.
Exactly. We do not look inside to see what is in the mind, to see the great potential that is in each and every one of us,
mm-hmm.
which Almighty God Allah has placed there.
Well, explain, if you will, for a second, sir, why, just within the brief span of this past year, the religion has been open to members of all races. What prompted that decision?
Well, it was the Honorable Wallace D. Muhammad bringing us to our growth and development. In other words, we started off with the concept that we had to begin to start teaching our own people.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you say, why can't this man stand up? And you have to take him into a room and teach him how to stand up. That's how you had to do your children. When they couldn't walk, you had to teach them how to walk. So when a person or people have become so lost like we have become, away from our own natural selves, then it had to take a time to give us a certain amount of reformation, a certain amount of teaching. And now as we begin to grow up as a young adult, now we like going to a high school or college. See, we can't any longer be boys or children. We have to now take on the real role that God had intended, a man. So now this teaching brings us in the full scope of the whole world, because we can't just contend with our own people in our own ghetto. We have to contend with the world mentality. So now we have to grow up to the world mentality, and that's what the Honorable Wallace D. Muhammad is bringing us into, a world mentality.
All right, let's go back to you two as a couple. Is there any difference between how you at the mosque participate in the religious ceremony?
Well, there is no difference because we are submitting to the will of Allah, you see. There may be differences in that she may have a different duty in the mosque than I have, because I have to do other duties, which, you see, Allah blesses each and every one of us with a certain amount of understanding and wisdom. And it comes out after we are fed with the knowledge that the Honorable Wallace D. Muhammad is teaching us, you see. And as we go along, we get this knowledge and degrees and the wisdom and understanding that Allah has blessed us with. We see the work that we have to do, you see. It is a collective work. Each of us as individuals, we are unimportant. It is the cause that of Islam that is important, you see. And as we see our individual roles, we have to submit, but we only submit to the will of Allah, because it is Allah's work that we are doing. See, when we do things...
Well, that's just like a rapid mentality of white or black or anything like that, you know, like we have new names now, like Nora White is Caucasian. You know, once you come into this type of knowledge, you're, we don't call them white, you're going Caucasian, you know. Wait, and the same thing with the black knowledge, we've got a new name called Belalium.
What does the X in your name stand for?
Well, I'm changing my last name, which I have. It's Shakia now.
So your name now is?
Daniel X Shakia, and I will get a middle name in the future.
How did your mother and father feel about your religion and changing your name?
They had some misconceptions about it, you know, but I visited them once since they've been up here, you know, and I think once they get a little understanding, they'll feel more at ease, you know. They're a little bit nervous, but like anything that you explore, if you haven't experienced it before, you get an emotional reaction of either fear or anger. Theirs was fear, but I've comforted them. All praise is due to Allah, because I've gained knowledge. Once you gain knowledge of something, you have no fear of it.
I think the key word, one of the key words there, what you're just saying, is the word explore, because you're exploring in a way in our life as we go every day. It's just an exploration of one thing or another. We'll be back right after this. Many inmates in correctional facilities and prisons have become followers of the Islamic teachings. One is with us now. Minister Nuruddin Faiz is director of the Department of Prison Services for the East Coast region and state chaplain to the prison system. Brother Tariq Shahid is an aide to Minister Rashid, who has been with us all afternoon, and is also serving a sentence for armed robbery on a work release program. How does the prison system affect the way you can celebrate and observe Islamic teachings?
How does it affect in what?
Well, in the practical sense. So we've learned today about fasting. Mm. We've learned about food. And I wonder whether or not being in prison, it's impossible to follow your faith.
Okay, well, that's really wholly not true.
It's not.
Because of the effect that the Honorable Wazir Muhammad has had on and the teachings and how he's affected most people, the prisons have opened their doors to the teachings of the Honorable Wazir Muhammad, and a lot of the institutions are readily able to serve us in terms of Ramadan. They will serve food. They were very helpful in helping us to organize and put together the necessity that we needed for the particular program.
Mm-hmm. So, are you able to in prison observe the religious festivals without interruption or without scorn?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I would say yes.
And tell us a little bit about yourself. And I know that we spoke before up there, but what was the time you spent in prison?
Well, I was very, very young when I was in prison. And as a matter of fact, it was about 3 months I was in house of detention. And it was really a mistake. But in 1964, I was in Lexington, Kentucky, 6 months for the usage of drugs. But since then, I haven't been in prison. In 1968, I joined the Nation of Islam. And in joining the Nation of Islam, I was just so overwhelmed with Islam that everybody that I saw, I just started bringing them to the mosque. And
do you go into prisons to try to... Well, I guess in the traditional sense, it would be convert people to the Nation of Islam?
No,
as part of the...
No, as the director of the Department of Prison Services on the East Coast and the New York State chaplain, I go in and I teach the religion of Islam as taught by the Honorable Wallace D. Muhammad. My job is to make sure that they have religious freedom, that they are practicing the religion of Islam as the Honorable Wallace D. Muhammad wants them to practice it, and to set up programs so that we can help the brothers and also sisters that are incarcerated, such as post-release programs.
Mm-hmm.
Many of the brothers, they need jobs before they come home. So the Department of Prison Services, we get jobs for them and make sure that they have work when they come home.
Do you find that there are many prisoners who want to become Muslims just to make themselves look good, and then once they get out of prison, they totally forget about the faith?
No, as a matter of fact,
that doesn't happen?
A lot of people might think that, but that percentage is very, very low. As a matter of fact, the great work of the Honorable Wallace D. Muhammad is really beautiful, because the recidivism, as far as the Muslim community is concerned, is less than 5%.
Mm-hmm.
And we have evaluated that, And we're very, very proud over the great work of Islam as it goes into the institutions. It's really a tremendous reward as you see a person go into the institution living a life of crime, didn't know anything about Islam, never heard about Allah. He goes into the institution, he hears Islam, and he comes out of the institution, he wants to take care of his family, he gets a job, he becomes a productive, or he becomes an asset to the community, right back into the mosque, and then he joins the Department of Prison Services, and we unite, and we go back into the institution so that we can help others that are less fortunate than we are.
Well, this has been an interesting experience for me to learn so much, to try to absorb so many of you people, and I'll say the same thing I said at the beginning of the show. The vibrations are good in the studio. You people seem peaceful and you seem happy. I wonder whether or not in the moment, we won't have a moment to conclude, you might give us a sense of a blessing, the people watching now from you as a minister of the mosque here in New York. Maybe reach out and touch them, no matter what their belief is, with some thought.
Yes. I'd like to say what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad has said and what the Honorable Walter Steve Muhammad has said, that there is no God but Allah. And Allah is a God that reaches everyone, and Allah hears whoever praises Him. In other words, if you call on God, then I mean you have really reached a state of paradise, because God will serve you.
Well, I think we'll conclude midday on that note. This is as good as any that we could conclude on. Tomorrow, we'll introduce you to a fascinating, creative man named Marshall Efron. I hope you've enjoyed this afternoon. Have a pleasant, peaceful afternoon, and we'll see you tomorrow at 1.
Think your learning station every little step.